following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. Listeners to this radio show should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about the mutual fund, variable annuity, and variable annuity subaccounts. To obtain a prospectus, you may contact Friedman Financial or your financial advisor. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making a potential investment. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman.
You're a rich girl, and you're going too far, because you know it don't matter anyway.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. That music's loud. I'm a little bit loud, but I know for the first 7 minutes of this show, it was a little quiet, wasn't it? It was just dead air. That's the worst thing that can happen on the radio is dead air. I didn't even realize. I started the show on time, but didn't realize we weren't being broadcast. So a nice shout out to my sister-in-law. At least somebody's listening. Thanks, Sarah, for letting us know that there was nothing on the air. And so, yes, you got a shout out on my radio show. So all the best to you, Sarah. And we are here live in studio providing you with some financial advice in a language you can understand. I am here until 8 o'clock this morning answering your questions. If you have them, feel free to give us a call, 800-370-1049, 800-370-1049. My name is Mark Friedman. I am president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Daniela's Restaurante at 41 Cross Street, where we have been providing financial planning and investment management advice to individuals and families all across the North Shore, the Southern New Hampshire area, and the Merrimack Valley since 1968. If now is the time for you to get serious about your financial planning and investment management needs, I hope you'll give us a call. So when we last left you, I was talking about the fact that many people oftentimes think about financial planning through this lens of, well, if I have an investment account with a financial advisor, I must have a financial plan. And that's not true. What you need, if you want to have a financial plan, is someone needs to know where everything is and what everything is worth. And one of the things that I'm finding these days is that there's a lot of financial professionals that many people are working with where they might have had a favorite advisor, or they had some of their money with an advisor, and the advisor is now sending them a note saying, hey, it's been a pleasure working with you, but I want to let you know that we've decided to move from one company to another company. And as a result, we need you to sign this paperwork, and we need you to acknowledge the fact that you're willing to move your accounts with me as I move from one brokerage firm to another. And they try to tell you that this is in your best interest, this is a smart move for you, and I want to ask you, why do you think it's a smart move? Why do you think your investment advisor is moving from one company to another? Do you think it's in your best interest or in their best interest? Well, I ask you this question because there's a lot of people put out the term, I'm a fiduciary. You've heard this term. Many people ask me when they come to our office, Mark, are you a fiduciary? And I say, yeah. First of all, I have to be a fiduciary because I'm instantly a fiduciary because I have a certified financial planner or a CFP designation. Part of my duty as a CFP is to be a fiduciary. But being a fiduciary means to place my client's interest first. And when an advisor says, I'm leaving one company to go to another company, I have to ask the question, are they doing it through the lens of a fiduciary? Is it truly in their best interest to go from one company to another? Have you ever given that some thought? How is the move from one institution to another institution for your advisor, placing your interests first. Chances are, not only will you have to sign new paperwork, you're about to learn new technology. Chances are, when you move from one company to another, all that historical performance numbers that your advisor might have been able to provide to you are left with the previous financial institution. For the advisor, the advisor's staff is having to learn a whole new technology. They're having to spend months burdened by having to repaper every account and making sure that the payouts that you're receiving, the dividends that you might get, the changes in registration, the assignments to online access to software systems are changing. Is that all in your best interest? Perhaps. Perhaps there is a better software that's out there. Perhaps there are better systems in place where your advisor was before to where they're going now. But I can assure you of this. When an advisor moves from one institution to another, it's actually certainly for the advisor in the advisor's best interest. Because the advisor, in many cases, is taking a check. That's right. I'm being fully transparent here. Your advisor is moving because somebody has put up money and enticed them to move. Now, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm not saying that if it makes sense for all parties involved, there are three parties that you have to consider here when an advisor moves from one place to another. Number one, is it in your best interest as the client? Number two, is it in the staff's best interest, or the staff that you're financial advisor employees? And number three, is it in the financial advisor's best interest? Well, I can assure you that if it wasn't in the financial advisor's best interest, they wouldn't do it. But if it was in the financial advisor's best interest and maybe an inconvenience to the staff and a little bit of a challenge to the clients, do you think the advisor would do it? Well, perhaps that depends on how much money's involved. So over the past month, I don't know what it is, but this has been a month where a lot of advisors have been deciding to move from one financial institution to another. And they're asking you to sign paperwork, to agree to move. And I ask you this, as your advisor moves from one financial institution to another, how much time will they have to serve your needs during the period of transition while they're trying to learn new technology, new software, new paperwork to process, new relationships, and establishing new relationships with the people to whom they're moving their accounts? Will your attention that is necessary for you be served? It's a fair question. And it's a question that perhaps you've never considered. But that's the truth. If you've got questions about that, perhaps you've been in that situation, give us a call, 800-370-1049. That's 800-370-1049. I want you to understand what the impact is of the three pieces when someone changes from one financial institution to another. How does it impact the advisor? How does it impact the staff? How does it impact you, the client, the one who's paying for all of this? It's a fair question, and it's a reason why so many people have reached out to us recently to ask whether it makes sense to begin consolidating accounts. Even think about this. So perhaps you were affiliated with, I don't know, East Boston Savings Bank. Now, you know, East Boston Savings Bank was recently acquired by Rockland Trust. Now, I'm just picking on them because remember, there used to be Fleet Bank. Remember, there used to be Bank of Boston. Remember, there used to be all other different types of banks that were around. But periodically, banks are acquiring other banks. And so you're being asked to move your accounts, to make changes. And sometimes those changes are changes that you really don't want to make. But sometimes it's beyond your control and sometimes it isn't. You can make informed decisions. And when it comes down to your money, you want to make sure that you're making the right decisions. And especially with folks that have accounts scattered all over the place. Maybe you have a 401k somewhere, an IRA rollover somewhere else, another Roth IRA somewhere. Maybe you have an annuity and a brokerage account. and an inheritance account, a beneficiary IRA, all these different things, and they're held with different people? And now you're getting to the point in your life, maybe you're 50, 55, 60 years old, and you're beginning to think about retirement, and you're saying, do I have enough money? How did I do? How far away am I from being able to make a decision on whether I can retire? And what does retirement look like? Could I just stop working right now? How long do I have to work? And if I do have to work after, say, 60 or 65 or 70, how much money do I really need to make sure that I don't run out of money? Are your advisors that you're working with providing you with that insight and that visibility so you can be confident as you approach your life in retirement? Folks, accumulating money is easy. Anybody that tries to make that complicated for you is just selling you a bill of goods. Investing money for the future is easy. But spending money that you've accumulated to support you through the rest of your life is not only scary, it is extraordinarily intimidating. And in a period of time when markets are uncertain, global political issues are staring us in the eyeballs with every headline we read, we worry and we wonder. Because I'll tell you, if your money isn't prepared and ready for you to live to age 100, you need to do something. You're not going to die at 81 years old. Well, I don't know that you won't, but I wouldn't want to bet on that. Do you know what your expiration date is? There isn't one that's printed on your license for your life. There's an expiration date on your passport and on your license for a renewal. But there is no stamped expiration date on your birth certificate. You need to prepare for a future that goes far longer than how your parents and grandparents ever lived. And there's ways to do it. And there's ways to do it that are smart. Ways to do it that allow you to have confidence in the way you spend, not with fear every time you spend a little bit of extra money on a vacation or when you go out to eat for dinner. I think I've told you many times, many of the people that we visit with that come into our office for a free initial consultation and start to say, I want a financial advisor, a financial planner who will look at my situation in its entirety so that you can give me the confidence and the perspective so that I know honestly, can I do this? What do I need to make this happen? Or am I all set? And I will tell you, the answer that comes up more often than not always, but the answer that comes up more often than not is that you have more money than you think you have. And chances are, there's a really good chance you could spend more money than you think. Yeah, really. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Before we run, I want to remind you about our free weekly newsletter. It's called Planning Pointers. You go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page, put in your name, your email address, and we will get you signed up to join the other 7,000 plus subscribers who get Planning Pointers. You'll get some financial advice in a language you can understand. And if now's the time for you to get serious about your financial planning and you want to schedule a free initial consultation, go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D. You can check on the box that says information about new clients or give the office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. We'll take a quick break. When we get back, I want to talk a little bit about capital gains and taxes because you've been getting it. You just got your tax return back and the accountant just told you how much money you owe. And you go, what's that all about? We'll talk about that and more when we're back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. This is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here Sundays from 8 to 9 a.m. Let's face it,
Your retirement will be nothing like your parents'. Your life won't be based on a fixed income, and instead, in today's world, it will be up to you to make tax-smart decisions on your 401k, your IRAs, and the rest of your investment portfolio. And it's all with a goal of using this money to support your spending needs for the rest of your life. This is serious business, and at Friedman Financial, we can help. With more than 50 years of experience serving this local community, we deliver financial advice in a language you can understand. Visit us at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Let's make your retirement all that you've dreamed it could be.
Visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, President and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Daniela's Ristorante. Hope you're all doing well. Congratulations to both the Kansas Jayhawks and the UNC Tar Heels. They are making it into the finals for tomorrow night's national championship game. Kansas game yesterday was a bit of a blowout over Villanova, but wow, right? What a great battle of UNC and Duke yesterday. It could have gone either way. It looked like UNC kind of held the edge most of the game, but it was back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. I think there was 17 lead changes. It was insane. But kudos to Mike Krzyzewski. Congratulations on decades of leadership and service to our community, to college basketball players, to really encouraging students and basketball and students and athletes to really get the best out of their lives. And what a great leader, what a great coach he has been. I've had a chance to go down to Duke University. I actually played basketball in Cameron Hall. I was there, it must have been 4 years ago, I guess now, at a conference, and Mike Krzyzewski's daughter, and I forget her name, but she runs this leadership program at Duke, and she was talking to us and answering questions about what it means to be a student at Duke, what it means to be an athlete at Duke University. Mike Krzyzewski usually shows up at that meeting, but he happened to have been in New York that day because that night was the NBA draft, and that was the night the Celtics took Jason Tatum as their pick in the first round. Mike Krzyzewski was there to congratulate Jason. And of course, the Celtics were there to congratulate Jason as well, and he's turned into one heck of an athlete. An MVP candidate for in some people's eyes. So we're really looking forward to the Celtics run there. Right now holding the third seed as we have about four games left in the season. So let's see how far the Celtics can take this. I'd love to see Rob Williams make it back onto the floor because he has just been a beast when he has been out there. But he is injury prone as well, as we all know. So let's hope he gets back and he's ready to go for the playoffs. We shall see. I know I'll be at the games. So tune in. That should be a lot of fun. Anyways, I'm here in studio today talking about financial advice in a language you can understand. We've had a tough quarter. This is the first time in a while, in more than 2 years, that investors have actually seen a negative return on their statements for the quarter. And you know what? That's not a bad thing. Markets don't go in one direction. It's interesting. I mean, people say, well, housing prices seem to just go in one direction these days. Well, they don't and they won't. Look, housing prices are insane right now, which you're paying for the price of a house. However, have you noticed that over the past year, mortgage rates have gone from 2.75 to close to 4.50, meaning 2.75% to 4.5%. That's a big jump. You take a look, go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. Click on the tab that says resources, and I have an amortization schedule calculator. Go ahead and put in what a mortgage looks like for somebody who was asking for a mortgage of, let's say, $400,000 at 2.75% last year versus someone that needs a $400,000 mortgage today at 4.5%. There's a big difference in the monthly payment. Not to mention a big difference in what the property tax is going to be because the house value went up too. Folks, there's going to be a slowdown in the wave of people that are going out to buy houses because less and less people are going to be able to afford them. Secondarily, I don't believe that the pace in which housing values have gone up is going to go at the same trajectory that it's gone over the past couple of years. It's going to slow down and probably go down. That's right. The value of a house could be less. The only difference that we see, the big difference between housing prices and stock market prices, is that stock market prices get printed in the paper or posted on your phone on a second-to-second basis. A housing price doesn't do that. Yeah, you could go to Zillow, you can go to Redfin, and you can see what they think your house is worth. But in reality, your house is only worth what one person is willing to pay for it. And I saw, I had a house in North Andover that we sold about 5 years ago. And there was a house, I don't know, two-thirds of our size, 2,800 square feet, had three bedrooms, two bathrooms, had a pool in the backyard. And I just saw that 2 weeks ago, it sold for $1 million. $1 million. When I sold my house on that street 4 or 5 years ago, I had 5,000 square feet in my house. Yes, it was a big house. And I couldn't get $1 million for my house. It amazes me what people are willing to spend for a house these days just to have a house. Folks, if it was me, if I was thinking about trying to figure out my next move, if I had the ability to do this, this is the approach I would take. I would sell my house. I'm not doing this. This is what I would do for others. People are saying, I want to sell my house. I want to maximize the amount of money I can get for my house. I would sell my house and look to rent somewhere for a year or two. Yeah, I know that's not convenient. But Mark, when you rent, you're just throwing money away. Well, are you really? Do you have to worry about cutting the lawn and shoveling the driveway and taking care of all the day-to-day routines that have to happen when you live in an apartment? And an apartment doesn't have to be a studio. I mean, you can get a bigger place. You can even rent a house for all I care. But if you could rent for a couple of years and then buy something else, maybe buy the condo or townhouse that you might want. For many, that is an extraordinarily good strategy. Because when you sell your home, let's just be sure you understand this. When you sell your primary residence, you sell your primary, let's say you paid $400,000 for your house and now you sell it for $700,000. When you sell that house, if you want to go to an apartment or you want to buy another house, do you pay tax on that $300,000 gain? Well, if you weren't renting it out and it was your primary residence, the answer is no. That gain is free to you. It's free. Now, if you've been renting it out and you've depreciated it, there could be some tax that's due. If it's a second home or an investment property, sure, there could be taxes due. Now, some people will say, but Mark, I've been in my house since 1972 and I paid $39,900 for it. Get that. And now it's worth $800,000. Well, if you're married, $500,000 of that gain is exempt. And I would bet you that between the time you bought it and the time you sold it, you've put some money into that house. Oh, of course I put some money into the house. Well, I'm not talking about paint and paper. I'm talking about permanent improvements that you've done to your house. Maybe you've replaced the roof. Maybe you've had to reface the foundation. Maybe you've done some improvements to add on to your house or redo your kitchen. All of those are costs that you've put into your house that build up something that's called your cost basis. Like I said, you paid $49,900, but maybe it cost you $150,000 to put an addition on your house. Well, you add $150,000 to your $49,900. Then you replace the roof. Then you had to replace the chimney. Then you had to replace certain things, replace all the windows in the house. Add all of that up. And if you can add all of those things up and the difference between what you sell your house for and what you've invested plus all the stuff that you've put into it, if the difference is less than $500,000 and you're married, no tax to pay. Did you know that? Now, I'm not a tax professional. Of course, any of the advice that I provide to you here on the radio about taxes, I would certainly want you to validate that with your tax professional. All I'm giving you is what I call tax planning advice, not tax advice. So here's some tax planning advice as well. Perhaps recently you've had your taxes done and you've gone to your accountant, or you've done it yourself and you realized, oh my goodness, I owe so much money in taxes this year. And you go, but in years past, I've always got a refund. Why is it that now I owe so much more money in taxes? Is it because of the silly COVID thing? Is it because of all the people that got free checks when they were unemployed? No, that's not the reason. Chances are, and there's a multitude of reasons why you could owe more in taxes, but for many people, 2021 was an extraordinarily good year in the stock market. And as a result, many people had what are called capital gain distributions at the end of the year. And those capital gain distributions, which represented realized gains in mutual funds you owned, were required to be paid out as an extra dividend at the end of the year. Now, you made money. You got to pay tax. That's basically what it comes down to. I remember years ago when I first started in the business, someone had come in who had been clients of my dad's for a very long time. And they said to me, Mark, this year I went to see my accountant and I had to pay all these taxes. For years, when I've been working with your dad, I always got a refund. And I said, well, here's one way to look at it. If you'd prefer, I can assure you a way to get a refund. And that's to make sure you don't make any more money. Is that what you want? Well, people want to make money, but they don't want to pay taxes. Well, there's ways around that. You can make money in your retirement accounts, of course. Build what's called a tax-deferred portfolio, whether it's money in your IRA, in your Roth, in your 401k, in your 403b, where you can earn money over time and you don't pay tax until you take the money out. However, if you have a brokerage account, let's say you have a brokerage account and you have an investment portfolio that's comprised of dividend-paying stocks, or mutual funds that pay dividends, and you say, well, I don't want those dividends. I don't need those dividends. Just reinvest those dividends back into my mutual fund or back into the stock that I own. Did you know that you still have to pay tax on the dividend, whether you receive it or not? You still have to pay tax. The same thing happens if you have a CD. Now, right now, CDs paying 1%, you're really not going to notice it. But when CDs were paying 5 or 6 or 7%, and you reinvested your interest back into your CD, you still had to pay tax on the interest on your CD. And of course, if you make sales in your account, in your investment account, let's say you bought the XYZ mutual fund for $10,000 and you sold it 5 years later for $15,000, you have a $5,000 capital gains tax. Remember this also. If you ever get scared and the market is getting a little wonky and you say, I want to get out of this market, and your advisor goes, okay, I'll sell you out. When you sell out, you've created perhaps capital gains. Those are subject to tax too. And the worst part is this capital gain distribution. These dividends that are paid by a mutual fund company based on the trading activity of the portfolio manager who's looking to make money for you. And some might say, well, Mark, how do I avoid the capital gain distribution? Well, you could sell your fund before the capital gain distribution is paid. And that may or may not make sense. It all depends on your situation. Talk to your financial advisor about that. But if you've been invested in a, let's say, a growth fund for the past 5 years, you have probably made so much money, so much in unrealized capital gains, that the capital gain distribution that's going to be paid in December, that extra dividend, is far smaller than what the capital gain would be if you sold out of the mutual fund. So your advisor is serving you well by allowing you to take the capital gain distribution rather than selling out of the fund. But the only way for your advisor to do it right, to make sure that they've got it all lined up properly, is to make sure that your advisor knows your whole situation. And let me tell you, if your financial advisor doesn't have the opportunity to review your tax return every year, then you can't really blame your financial advisor. But what's even worse is if your financial advisor doesn't ask for your tax return or doesn't leverage your tax information when they're making financial decisions for you, well, I say shame on your financial advisor. That's what I call financial advice in a language you can understand. When we get back, I want to talk about more stories, more experiences that I'm having in my office that I need to share with you so you can make better financial decisions. We'll be back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
You try to impress me with your blue extra large sweatshirt, and I try to impress you too. And when it feels like it's the last time, and when you kiss like it's the first time.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial. With all that's gone on over the past couple years, perhaps retirement is sounding pretty good. But how can you focus on the future when you're so busy juggling the day-to-day? It's time for a real plan, a plan you can define, a plan you can track, and a plan you can modify as things change. At Friedman Financial, that's what we do. We know that planning for your retirement can be overwhelming, but with more than 50 years of experience, we know what you're going through. We're experienced and we're fiduciaries. We listen and we collaborate with your best interests in mind. You don't have to do this alone anymore. Turn to us for answers to your why, how, and what if questions. If now is the time to get serious about your retirement, please give us a call. We're Friedman Financial of Peabody. Financial advice in a language you can understand.
Visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com.
Friedman Financial is a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
It's not about the money, money, money. We don't need your money, money.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. And ding, 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 ding. We have breaking news. Breaking news, folks. Mrs. Potato Head, the voice of Mrs. Potato Head, has died at 93 years old. Estelle Harris, the voice of Mrs. Potato Head in Pixar's Toy Story, has died at 93. You may also remember her as, where is her thing here, as who played Muriel, the lazy maid at the Tipton Hotel on the Disney Channel series, The Sweet Life of Zack and Cody. She also played George Costanza's mother. She has died at 93 years old. No more Mrs. Potato Head. So breaking news, you've heard it here first, right here on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and right above Daniela's Ristorante. Hope you're doing well. It is springtime, folks. Isn't it feeling nice? I don't think we're getting any more snow. I think that's all over. You don't have to wear the heavy winter coat. You can periodically roll down your windows. You can hear the birds chirping. The buds are starting to appear on the trees. The crocuses are starting to show their heads as they pop through the bark mulch. But when we look at our yard, we go, ugh. Oh, my God. That looks horrible. In fact, Biff, are you there?
Biff, I am here.
How's your yard looking, Biff?
Yuck.
Yuck. It is horrible.
Yuck.
Yep, it is not looking very nice, but it will come around. How are we doing, Viv? I haven't said hello to you at all today.
Yeah, we had sort of a rough start now, didn't we?
We did. A little 7 minutes of silence, which is sometimes my kids ask for that all the time.
Yeah, they got that. You've got to be careful of what you wish for.
Yeah, it's like I was talking for 7 minutes and everybody had their hands over their ears because they couldn't hear me.
I enjoyed those 7 minutes. I believe I'm the only one that heard that, but I enjoyed it. It was some of the best 7 minutes you've done, Mark.
I know.
But I'm doing well, thank you.
That was the only staged part and planned part of my show.
And, of course, you were off air.
That's right.
There you go.
So we've got about 6 or 7 minutes remaining before I toss it over to Scott Whitley over at Wicked Bites Radio. And I do want to talk to you about what's been going on right now in the world of financial planning, because more and more people are saying now is the time for me to get serious about financial planning. Because years ago, it used to be, well, if I just put money in my 401k, if I get my company match, if I just do what I have to do, hopefully I'll do okay. And people are beginning to realize as they get older that The savings part, the accumulating part of investing is really easy. It really is if you've got a plan, not a speculative strategy like throwing money at stocks through your Robinhood account or in your E-Trade account, but having a plan. But when you get to that period of time in your life, let's say it's 50, maybe it's 55, maybe it's 60, and you begin to realize, you know, maybe I don't want to work so much anymore. Maybe I want to start planning for my retirement. And maybe what I want to do in retirement is do something, but not the job I'm doing right now. Most people at 60 or 65 are not ready to just hang up the, you know, hang up their hat and say, I'm just done. Some are. But you want to do something. You want to do something. But how do you know how much something you need to do? And that's really where we get involved. Most people work with financial planners at Friedman Financial when they're 55 plus. Because they're starting to transition from the accumulation phase to the distribution phase. And the distribution phase is tough. Because you got to start thinking about, when do I apply for Social Security? What pension option should I take if I have one? When do I apply for Medicare? What supplement should I purchase? When do I take money out of my IRA? What's my tax rate going to be? Can I continue to help my children? Where is the best place to take money on a tax-smart basis? Who's looking at my tax return? Who's considering whether I need to continue to own life insurance? Did Mark just say, should I own life insurance? You know, I can't tell you how many people come to our office and they have these life insurance policies and they're 72 years old or, I don't know, 78 years old. And I say, why do you have these life insurance policies? And they'll say, well, of course I have it. So to bury me, of course. I'm like, are you kidding me? I don't say it that way. I'm much nicer in real life. But I'll say, why do you have the insurance now? Well, like they said, you know, to bury you. I said, why did you buy the insurance? I don't know. I just thought I had to have insurance. Well, generally, people buy insurance for three reasons. Number one, to protect for certain events that happen in their lives, in the family's lives, if they were to die. Number one is, if I die... I'd like insurance to pay off my mortgage. Number two, if I have insurance, I'd like, if I die, I'd like insurance to pay for my children's college education costs. And number three, if I die, I'd like to make sure that there's enough money left to my spouse and my family so that they don't have to worry about money again and they can provide an income for the rest of their life. But now you're in your 70s or perhaps even in your 60s. You don't have a mortgage. You're not paying for your kids' education. And perhaps with some planning, you begin to realize, oh my goodness, I have enough money to support me and my family for the rest of our lives. So why am I paying these ridiculous amounts for life insurance? Do you really need the money to bury you? No, you got the money. Remember years ago, and I don't even say years ago, decades ago, when our grandparents and great-grandparents died, generally they owned a house that was worth $29,900. They had a couple $1,000s maybe in the bank account. Yeah, it was earning 10% or whatever back then, but so what? And they had a pension. And when they died, the pension stopped. Social Security stopped. And all they had was a house worth $29,900 and a couple $1,000s in the bank account. So how were they going to be able to pay, or how were the children going to be able to pay for a funeral? Well, they didn't have to worry about that because the insurance would pay. And by the way, the funeral director was willing to say, oh, you have an insurance policy? We'll wait until the insurance policy pays its claim and then you can pay us. If you've had to, sadly, manage a funeral for somebody in the past decade, you know that the funeral directors aren't that lenient anymore. They want to be paid now. And you know how they can be paid now? A credit card. Yep, funeral homes take credit cards. Or you can write a check. But chances are most people, or actually I shouldn't use the word most people. I should use the word many people. Because most people still don't have enough money to pay for a funeral. Many people, though, do. And if you are part of the many people who have the resources necessary to pay for a funeral if you were to die, well, someone would pay for it for you because you'd be dead, you don't may not need that life insurance. Now, there are other reasons to have life insurance. Don't get me wrong. If you are buying life insurance to maybe pay for the estate taxes that are due, or maybe you're maintaining life insurance to provide an ongoing income stream to other family members, or, frankly, a money for your heirs if you were to die. That's another reason to maintain it. But make sure that you own insurance for the right reasons, not because I need it to bury me. And that, my friends, is what we call financial advice in a language you can understand. If you like this advice, if you like to get little snippets, little tidbits of advice every week, sure, you can listen to our show here each and every Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m., but you can also get our free weekly newsletter. It's called Planning Pointers. Go to our website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, to E's and a D, Financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page, put in your name, your email address, and that's it. You will get our newsletter every Friday at 10:30 in the morning. But until then, I wish you a very happy Sunday. Enjoy the week. I'll be back again next Sunday with more financial advice in a language you can understand. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday.